right. So, as per requested, we're going to work our way through Genesis. It's going to be quite the endeavor. So, I came up, I was sitting around, and I kind of jotted down. I don't think they're in any particular order, but we were going to explore these kind of questions. Are going to be some of what, as we go through, obviously, the creation story, there are some questions that we can kind of ask that we can mull about for our own edification and understanding. So, the first question would be, who wrote Genesis? I think all of us in the room would accept that probably Moses wrote Genesis. Well, that is not necessarily everyone's opinion. Because you got to think about it, it's probably a third of the way through the book of Genesis before we even introduced to Moses. So all this was, huh? Well, right. So what was I thinking? And I've seen a baby. And so, you know, it's kind of hard for people to understand that much time in human history had passed, but, you know, that. So there's some argument, but the bottom line, which we can kind of settle, sorry, there's all kind of academic gymnastics you can go through and all this, and that, you know, up to that point, the history was pretty much passed down orally, which is, there's some Native American, I guess you're not allowed to call them Indian tribes, that still to this day pass down their tradition. Indian tribes. Liawatha. So, you know, it's not unheard of in human history for this. So, but we will take it on authority of the ultimate authority, and this is the ones I jot down. I know you can't see exactly all of them, and it really doesn't matter. The bottom line to this screen is how many times Jesus quoted Moses. So Jesus was happy, and many times he says, well, it's kind of funny because, well, not funny, but it's interesting that Jesus says, as spoken of by the prophet Moses. He calls him a prophet. And so for us, you know, we don't have to fight over who wrote Genesis. I just thought I would take a minute and explore that question with you and kind of settle it. If anybody ever asked you, that's Jesus quotes it. I think it's 31 times that Jesus quotes Moses. So, is everybody cool with that? Everybody settled with that? I didn't think we'd have a whole big problem, but I thought I would bring it out. All right, the next question that I just came up with is, what is the or our purpose for being here? And I mean, obviously, the first thing would pop in mind is kind of, we're here to have fellowship with God, right? But there's got to be a little more to the story than that, I would feel, in that God already had beings that he had fellowship with. That he must have created humans for a specific purpose. That there was something he wanted out of humanity that wasn't present in the other. I guess the whole thing comes back to my guess, and I'll open it up. Anybody have any? I don't want to be the whole point of this is to finally try to have some discussion about, does anybody have a purpose for being here? Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Well, for whatever reason, you asked me to talk. No.
Please do.
So for whatever reason, God wanted to have to create man in order to have another family unit, more or less. Why? pleasure, his joy. He's a God of love. He likes to love stuff, even people like us.
I'd agree. So there are some questions that I don't know if we can really answer definitively, and that was not the point. It's kind of a rhetorical thing that I feel like God gave Adam dominion over the earth. And we always kind of get in our mind that, you know, we picture Adam with a hoe in his hand and just walking around, you know, being a farmer, but that's not what Adam's job was. Adam was a prince. Adam was to rule and the earth. It was given to him as a kingdom, and God wanted to have fellowship with him and therefore have fellowship with everything in his kingdom. And we see kind of a really cool example, and I thought it was good that Scott brought it up a long time ago, and it's always kind of stuck with me, was that God could have set Adam down and said, all right, Adam, this is a zebra, this is a giraffe, this is an elephant, this is this. But what did God do? God had the animals come before Adam and said, what do you want to call it? I want you to be part of this. I want you to make decisions. I want you to carry out my will through you and to be part of this. I could make you a robot and you could just answer to my every thing, or we could have perfect communion and you can rule and reign over these things, but I want you to make decisions. I want you to, again, be part of this. And I think that's kind of important. Well, Judy scares me, but
I think in the beginning we were a beautiful piece of art. I feel there's so much thought and emotion and everything in there that it was like doing a beautiful piece of art.
I agree. And we were, I could make the contention that we were to somewhat what you would call perfect. And that God said when he was done, it is good, right? So human beings were good. It was creation, as we'll go through, we'll see, it is good. So, obviously, you know, and we kind of, that's, I know Gary kind of knows, kind of rely on Michael Heiser in this for the family thing of, you know, we did like kind of the unseen realm, and that, you know, God kind of wanted more people in his family. He's always welcome. And personally, you know, again, I will always tell you when it's conjecture, when it's my opinion, I believe in a divine council. And I believe Adam was a prince and ruler of the world, and he was part of the divine council that, you know, stood before God, made decisions, made all those things. So, obviously, we'll discuss what changed that. And the ramifications of that are pretty significant. Then we were discussing last week, is the earth young or old? And we kind of held up our hands, people that believe. There's the Ken Ham, is that? Yeah, I remember our kids growing up, and you were deep into the Ken Ham stuff. But then you have, which is the young earth, you know, thing. Then you have places like Machu Picchu and places like this where are way, way earlier than anything that's been discovered up to this point, are at odds with the young Earth theory to some extent. So, and I made the conjecture that and the problem with this is, so we have, specifically even in my family, I have some members of our family that their family, they grew up in a Christian household, blah, blah, blah. We did the whole Ken Ham thing, everything. They got older, got introduced to school, went to college. Now they don't believe the earth is young, and it's destroyed their faith in that, and they really, really struggle. And so it was kind of interesting to sit down with this family member and say, hey, both things could be true, as weird as that sounds. But I will definitely get to that first today. But I can make a good case as to why I feel both things are possible. And again, this is not me. I'm nobody. I have no special training, no whatever. I just enjoy listening to different... there's a Timothy Albertino. I like the Mike Heiser stuff. I like Chuck Misler. I love that stuff. There's other... There's Skywatch TV. There's all these sources, and God and you're giving you the ability to critically think. And it's kind of interesting because if you take any one of those sources and run with it, sometimes I think it goes too far. But if you take so much from this source and then so much, I believe God gave you a critical thinking that you could put together. Sorry, we'll fight the ick. A pretty... I got a drink here. It just... I've got the ick. I'll stay away from everybody. That God just, you know, created the earth, and there's some strange things going on. And the strange things to me are the fun things. That's really... And then a really big question for me are we alone? And then, what is an alien or an extraterrestrial? Do we believe in that? And I can make a compelling case that there are extraterrestrials. Now, define the actual... What does terrestrial mean? Earthbound. Terra, right? Terra. Earth. Soil. Extraterrestrial means not of the earth. And I think the Bible's pretty explicit about showing you beings that don't live in the same realm that we do. And now, again, I was laughing for all of you that weren't here. Go ahead.
Bible says
we're aliens.
Yes, yes. Well, we've become aliens. This is not our home, right? We're legal aliens for the most part. But, you know, the Bible's pretty explicit about other beings being here. And like I was telling people that were here before, I kind of laugh. I enjoy watching the Bigfoot stuff. I don't know what joy I get out of it. I don't know if I believe in it or not, but it's just kind of compelling to watch. But I have always avoided the alien thing because it's something I don't know how to explain it. I don't understand it, so it's easy just to ignore it. But I think with what our government has come out with recently and said, hey, there's stuff we can't explain. We see it on radar. It does things that we say we're not capable of. So, you know, and there's some pretty compelling cases of alien abduction. What is it? You know, for a while I could kind of blow it off as, like, demonic. But after, thank God for Judy, it's hard to believe. But after Judy's question, what's a demon, and you go off and search for it, you realize what I believe a demon is, a disembodied being that is now searching for a body to inhabit. So therefore it wouldn't... So therefore it wouldn't really fit, you know, this kind of thing where people are being abducted and scientific experiments are being conducted on them and this kind of thing. So we'll try to explore that. I am so sorry. It's just so dumb to talk. Do you have a cough drop? I'll take it off. Anybody got any methamphetamine? Thank you. And then the last, and I guess this dovetails, I'll take your cough drop too if you don't mind. The last thing is kind of a dovetail on the question above it is, are we the focus of creation? There's a thing called human-centric, which basically... Everything in the Bible is about us But there are people that have a different view of that, that by limiting what we read in the Bible to just us, that we are diminishing what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That there's so much more that he has redeemed, and his mission was so much more that we know or give credit for, that, you know, we got to be careful about making it always about us. The Bible, Jesus said the volume of the book speaks of me. Doesn't talk about us. It's to us, and it's for our edification, but it's not about us. So that was kind of one of the things I wanted to go through this and try to make sure that we're aware that maybe there's some things going on. And when it talks about redemption, I mean, it says creation groans in pains, waiting for redemption itself. So with that in perspective, as we look to the Easter season and what was accomplished on the cross, if we think it's just about us, it kind of limits what Jesus did. And I think it's way, way more than we will ever know until we meet him face to face.
As my grandson says, it's all about God. All creation, the Word, it's all about him. It's not all about us.
So,
hard to say.
So,
fellow narcissist.
Mm-hmm. We're going to keep these questions in mind as we go through this. So it's going to be a little difficult, but sorry. I'm going to flip back and forth, and we probably won't get very far today, but we'll start with this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. If you have a problem with that, you have bigger problems than a Bible study. You know, he's just stating fact that I made this. I did all this. There's no doubt about that. Anybody have any problem with that?
Yep.
All right.
I have a note that I put in my Bible a long time ago, which I don't know, that the word God there is the plural word in the Greek means Elohim. So it's three.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty neat.
Are you going to talk about when God began to create?
How about it?
When God what?
Began to create. Colossians 1:18. Go ahead, read it. Because we're about to go off the deep end here in verse 2.
When it gets deeper, we're going deep.
Both.
So Scott's going to do some deep verses.
He's doing 1 Corinthians.
Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he may have preeminence. So there's your question, who's it about? But when it says in the beginning, it's not a time, it's a person.
Agreed.
In Christ.
And you can take that, the first little four verses out of there, in the beginning, or for words, sorry. In the beginning, God. That says it all. And being that we can not go too far down the space-time continuum, by having mass, we are subject to time. God obviously is not subject to time. He's outside of time. Which we can a little dovetail with that. So if anybody knows anything about...
Just to throw a monkey wrench out, because that's what I said. It's okay. He created the heavens and the earth. Okay, what did he create?
All of it.
Yes. But, okay, and then when we go down to the next verse, you'll see why I asked the question.
Oh, okay.
Why? Because we accept that he created the heavens and the earth. Because, like you said, nobody has a problem with that. But when the next verse is stated, you have to start looking at what did he create? Because he created it. He's God. He knows what he did. And see, we're man. We don't. We want to know. You know, it's that collective knowledge. That's the brain that he's given us. Our brain thrives on collective knowledge of knowing what. But it's easy to say we accept it. But do we accept it as God did it? There should be no question. Because where I get that from, if you go to the book of Job, and he asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundation? You know, we have these questions. Job just wanted to know what he did wrong. God never said he did anything wrong. But we know as a collective that everybody sins. Paul stated it. Everybody falls short. But Job, seen himself as, I don't like to speculate, but that's my sin, is sinless. So God corrected him on that. Because him having to know was putting him in the place of God. How I look at that. And God taught him a lesson that God is God, Job is Job. And without the protective hedge that he knew that was around him, Job didn't stand a chance.
Well,
so and that's why I just like to look at, a lot of people accept the verse, but do they really accept what the verse is saying?
Well, my rebuttal to that would be is a lot of people don't accept that.
Okay, well, I understand.
So we as a group in this room have no problem with it.
Yeah,
obviously.
No.
Or you wouldn't be here, I don't think. Unless you're some kind of master. So, we're willing to start off with that.
Can I throw out some 2.5 cents plus change?
How about it? It's what it's for.
Not change, let me tell you. So the interesting thing about, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, is that for all of my life, most of it, and I think probably for most of ours, we thought, okay, bam, there's the beginning. We need to talk about the bang theory also. It's like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, well, is that the first creation? So then, think about angels. Were they prior to? When did they begin? And if they did begin, then, boy, they got a lot of ground to carve between here and the fall. Like, so that's, so. But the interesting thing is if you really study the translation, actually the actual words for in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, that's actually not what it says. I know, it's wrong, yeah. What it actually says is when God began to create heaven and earth, which is interesting because then it explains the chaos part, because the earth was being unformed and void with darkness over the surface of the deep. Some would believe, who knows, that perhaps there was something prior to that went into chaos. What was that? Was that when Satan was thrown down? Who knows? I don't know what it was. Was that dinosaurs? Was it, who knows? Okay, I don't know. But when you look at it as when God began to create the heavens and the earth, now you have space to breathe and go, okay, wait a minute. This is almost like, this is when God began to recreate the earth. Doesn't say he didn't create everything to begin with. He did. But does he create something in chaos? I think the answer is he does not create something in chaos. Like, why would he create a earth that was unformed, void, but dark, and actually the words are used, it's in chaos? Would he? I tend to think not. So it's kind of like a new step in time where he says, when God began to create heaven and earth. Now, part of the proving point of that is that every other place in the Word of God where Bereshit is part of the Word is translated, it's always when. It is not like in the beginning. It's when. And so for some reason, the translators of this verse in the beginning. And that was kind of an interesting take on. All right, shall I leave now?
I just wanted to say one thing. If we're believing that this is the inerrant word of God, then it says God created, am I being simplistic, but it says God created happens in the earth. And we're believing that God did that because we are Christians and we believe that this is inerrant. So it doesn't matter if it's when he did it. Who can know that? I keep coming up with, who can know the mind of God? You know, he created, he is the creator, the author and perfecter. We know that from studying his word and from having a revelation from him. So why do we have to know when, why do we have to know science? I mean, and delve into that is what I'm saying.
So I guess here, what is your mission as a Christian?
My mission as a Christian is really to live out the word of God. To
but you're to go forth and make disciples of the nations.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Well, what do you do when you stumble across someone that doesn't believe in the beginning God? So you, I believe this is what my mission here would be, is to equip you to be able to say, hey, what about this? What about this? And believe you me, if you could talk somebody into Christianity, somebody can talk them out. So it has to be a heart thing. But you have to give them some logical reasons for your belief. And many times God said, come, sit down, let's reason together. Let's reason together. And I think he's given you a mind to allow you to reason. And again, we believe it. We could just say in the beginning God created, we're done. We're good. Right? But it's about the mission you've been given. And here I can make, so we talk about the Bible. So if anybody knows anything about cryptology and how you think about the Bible, what it is. If you were sending a message into people in an occupied territory, obviously we saw this in World War II with France and how that, so you wouldn't send a message with everything in one message. But you would divide it up into pieces and let people, that way if it was intercepted by people that don't know the code, they can't interpret it. And obviously, Satan knows the Bible. He showed that when he tempted Jesus. But he doesn't have the Holy Spirit to reveal those things in the Bible. So you do. So you could take, just say you were a prisoner. Well, we saw prisoner of war, Vietnam. They each passed around a piece of paper at Christmas time and wrote down what they could remember of the Christmas story. And they end up having a piece of paper complete with the Christmas story in prison. So each, you could intercept 65 books of the Bible and just have the book of John and still have salvation. You know, still see the glory of the story. So the Bible is not, you don't have to have the whole, the one message about baptism isn't buried in one chapter in the Bible, where if you don't get that, you don't know anything about baptism. It's all spread out. So it's like God anticipated the message he was sending into a hostile environment, and he broke the message up so that anybody could get just pieces of it and still be able to find him. That's how I feel.
I just worry about confusion taking up, because again, I believe the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. And I think that, I don't know about your walk with the Lord, but personally, mine was seeing it in other people's lives. So they didn't have to convince me of this, you know, that God created the world. I saw Jesus alive in their lives, that during me. And then, you know, of course, I kind of have been raised doing the word as well. I heard it, you know. But, and I think faith comes from hearing, you know.
I agree. I just had a different experience in that I worked at a lab where people launched missiles into space. Right back here. Okay. That people launched missiles into space. They were very, very technical. Very, very savvy. And some of those people are the hardest to convince. But if you could show them some, I have an inkling towards Chuck Missler, because he speaks on that very technical level of the Bible. So I just think there's so many levels. You can learn as a child Bible stories and find salvation.
Yeah.
All the way up to the rocket scientist that digs through the book of Genesis and says, holy cow, look what's in here. Right? So, and I think...
Oh, yeah, I think it's what we have to learn. I agree. But, I mean, to convince someone, I don't know that it's not convincing them based on, you know, a scientific stuff. I mean, you may want to throw some, have a knowledge base, but I just think it's the Holy Spirit that convicts. And if they have a real solid argument about something, you know, then maybe you want to delve into it, you know. I don't know. It's just my own personal...
And I took a little different approach, that I was going to give you everything I could.
And
the shotgun approach, that whatever, you can take this and just read it, you know, with Adam and Eve in the garden with the fig leaves on and the snake wrapped around the tree with the apple. And you're good. Or you can, you know, look at all this esoteric stuff and still be...
I agree, and I appreciate that.
So, this, I copied the exact same 9...
One of the things that's happened is that statement, the very first question, used to be believed by everybody all the time. And now all the science has come in and it's causing people to question. So it's to be able to give people an answer in some ways if it comes up, to be prepared. Like, do I even read this as science? How do I read it? Because the church has been so dogmatic about it has to be this, it has to be this, and we'll cover up this, and it has to be, instead of letting the Word of God breathe and live and trust that He's in control. So you have to be, there's questions in there. I mean, somebody sitting here and explaining the Trinity to a non-believer.
Well, I look at it as...
There's reasons to have it and good reasons to discuss it, because I bet us three don't agree, or all of us don't agree on all the fall, Satan, and all these other little things. We all try to figure out on our own, too. But the good thing is to understand that there's questions and how you might be able to relate to them in ways in science, because they might be scientific. By faith or by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Lord used science to Job. Were you there?
Yeah.
You know, so there's times to use different things. So it's good to be prepared. It's good to study yourself, to show yourself approved and things like that. So there's many things, I think, especially nowadays. I think in the past it had to be this way, it had to be this way. And you see even in your own life, that's not really working out in my life in the Scriptures, so there has to be more to it. There's something called life behind the
world. But if you also look at this, Genesis, in the beginning, where's the number one attack on the Bible?
Genesis,
is that space? Because, like you said, you believe by faith. That is the whole cornerstone of it. But it is man's still idea to find an answer. Now, the opposition takes that as a great chance of really destroying people's faith by Big Bang Theory, evolution. You look at all this stuff that they give you. They say it's a Big Bang Theory, but they weren't there. How do they know? So they have faith in it. And that's what you got to look at it. It's, where do you put your faith? You put your faith. We have the Bible. We have a lot of examples. And either you believe them, because it's from the Word of God, or you don't. But it's still our choice to learn. We have that desire. It's man-driven. It's...
All right, so what I did here, I took the exact same 9 verses that I had on the first. I'm sorry, I couldn't make it bigger. But this is actually the Hebrew Bible on the left side. And you've got to remember, Hebrew reads right to left. It reads the opposite way that we do. It's kind of interesting. It was pointed out to me the fact, do you realize every language in the world points to Jerusalem, how you read it. Everyone in the west reads left to right. Everybody in the east reads right to left. All the languages in the world point to Jerusalem.
Scientifically
proved
how that worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, some of us read backwards anyway. So here, so the main point of this is where we're going to go. So we can accept, I know you can't really see it that well up there, the first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse number two is where the big kerfuffle is, right? And in this it says, in the Hebrew version, it says, now, the how it's interpreted in the English, now the earth was unformed and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Well, the interesting thing is this, the word used for now is what's called a contrarian statement. So it's basically saying it's not the way it used to be. That is how that is stated in the Hebrew Bible. And kind of got lost a little bit in translation. Hence, the gap theory. If anybody's aware of that, this is where it would be, this is where its inception is, that the earth, and I'm going to go through and do some things here and we'll read some verses. Isaiah 45:18 says, for this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God, he is who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it, he did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. So it proves that the earth was made to be inhabited. So why would it be uninhabited? That's a question we're going to have to answer. So now we go to Job 38:1, which Mike talked about. Then the Lord said, answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darketh the counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee that thou answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. He who has laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundations therefore were fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof. When the morning stars, which are the angels, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So, and then I put, that's the word for tohu of a bohu, is tucked into there, which is what it says, and the earth became tohu of a bohu, which is void and without form. The term without form and void is preceded by the Hebrew word ha-yetah, which has been translated was. There is some evidence that the ha-te-wa could also be correctly translated as became. It's interesting that those who have an agenda to prove verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1 is part of the first verse always translate the ha-yada as was, while at the same time they translate Genesis 19. I won't go through all that, but that's basically the argument of that the earth became or that the earth was created that way. So, in Genesis 1-2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Does anybody know how we picture the Spirit of God? How is it pictured in the Bible? What's used to be
dove.
Dove. So, you have a picture of a dove hovering over the water. When in the Bible did that happen? Again.
Baptism.
The baptism. What is a baptism symbol of?
The symbol of being cleansed.
New life. The water, water represents judgment. It's always water represents, because the seas are in turmoil, that's human. Water is judgment. At baptism, we say we're being judged, but we're resurrected in Christ, and we are a new beginning. Isn't it interesting that in the Bible, the Spirit is hovering over the water, and I believe it's a new beginning, that something was judged, and now we have a new beginning. So, I go through some other little exercises there. Isaiah Well, I quoted that twice because I found it twice. So, that is like where we got to, and it's a big question, and I don't know if we can answer it and all, but I personally believe that there was a judgment on the earth on something before we were created, that there's hints of it all throughout the Bible that a race of beings were judged, and we were basically created. My contention is we were created to fill the void that their judgment left in the family of God. That we filled that space, which tended to make other people jealous, if you will, other beings jealous. Hence, we will try to tie that to Genesis 3, if you will. So, I guess that we could say, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, called the darkness night, and there was morning the first day. So that's as far as we'll kind of go this week, because we'll keep kind of exploring. Now we're into the creation. But I kind of think it's, I really find that interesting about the baptism tie to the Genesis 1, that a water judgment, the Spirit of God appearing, and a resurrection into a new life. And anybody else have any questions?
What do you think the light was before he created light?
Well, I guess it was just light. He just made...
But he separated
from the darkness.
From the darkness, but then he created light.
Well, was it Jesus, the light of the world? And he was with God, the Father.
Well, but it does say he created it, and
yeah.
Jesus was there in the beginning. So this is a different light. I don't know. I can't. That's going to be a question, because that's another argument over the 7 days being a literal 24 hours. The first day doesn't have a sun.
First 4 days.
Yeah, first 4 days doesn't have a sun. So is it the literal 24 hours? I don't know. I could make an argument that when it says that God said on the seventh day he rested, that he took it as a day. Now, was it exactly 24 hours back then, or did it kind of mold down into that towards the end? That's the question. Did you have a question? I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about this. It's interesting, and I had some told Scott one time. I thought I knew, possibly, when Satan may have failed. But then I heard another guy sharing the Bible, and I kind of thought about that, and I said, you know what, I really don't know for sure. So I think that we got to be careful, because sometimes we might think we know, but we might not know. So something apparently very well could have happened, but we find it also later, no doubt, in Genesis, that the judgment of water come upon the earth too. But did there something happen before? And the thing of it is, we do know in the beginning, I think the Trinity was involved in creating the heaven and earth. They were all there. And they're, you know, but it says God because he's, you know, and three, he's got three letters there. I mean, I don't want to go too far with it. God, but you can't separate God, but yet he's, they're all three triune beings, but yet at the same time, they are distinct beings. And they all work together. It's a mystery of the Trinity. We don't understand it all, but I don't know. I hope I ain't trying to confuse anybody. But
no, it's confusing enough on its own.
It's interesting.
If you think you can understand the Trinity, I am impressed.
I know, and I can't believe that. And I want to say something about I know, K-N-O-W. God, only God can reveal God. So this is a revelation. And Ed Miller would say, as I was reading his book on Exchange Life, and how quick do we forget a word? Sometimes we forget something, and I did tend to forget. But here's the thing. God is revealing himself to those that accept him, you know, by faith, and it's a revelation of him, and it's his work, and he's doing all this, but we don't even understand it all. But what little bit we do understand, we can be sure about that, because he said it, we take him by faith. But at the same time, we do need to leave room for, like, do I know when Satan fell? No, I really don't know. But it appears to be he may have in the earlier part. So the, say as far as the creation, something happened, and Genesis 3:15, you're going to get to it later, where it's prophesied, let's say, I think that's what's, it said it's going to come to pass. It's already said and done, but yet it hasn't took place where he's going to be, he'll be crushed. He's crushed by the word by saying that he is crushed, but he's yet to be kicked out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all good.
But then you can go to Job where he's standing in heaven, so he hasn't been kicked out of heaven yet.
Yeah,
there's a point where he's not allowed back into heaven at all.
Yeah, right. I think there
but
is.
But in Job, he stands.
That is exactly.
Yeah. He's not allowed into the third
well,
heaven.
Yeah,
right?
So what if it's the name that can't be mentioned?
So,
we're
interested.
So the whole point of this, and I don't want to give the impression that I know anything, right? We're just going through this, and I'm just giving you all the avenues that go with each one of these to try to equip you that if you hear this, it won't blindside you, and you'll be like, oh, I've heard this, and this is how I feel about this. I've already been exposed to this. I looked at this, and I don't believe this, or I do believe this, or now I'm prepared to answer those questions, to give a reason for my faith. Anybody got any questions? I mean, we didn't get very far. I wasn't planning on it anyway. But, this is the foundation of everything, of every cell in your body. This is the foundation of it. In the beginning, God, and God created. And
that creation is a lot like when humans are born, when God formed you in your mother's womb, in water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I related it to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So does God start something that's not complete yet? Yes, each of us. Everything. In all things. So you can have, I understand, like, a lot of people have the young earth theory, and they all have reasons. And so those are just little things that are going to pop up. Because you have to answer the questions, like a lot of the old earth thing is, when did Satan fall? A third of the angels fell with him. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but everybody believed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things people are trying to cram in where they don't see in Scripture that might be in there, but might not be. And so that's why a lot of these questions come up and things too.
You get into the, just one last point and we'll pray and be done. You can get into the astronomical thing of this. There is evidence between, I believe, Jupiter and Saturn that a planet was destroyed. That it has an asteroid belt that they believe that a planet was destroyed. Now, was it a natural occurrence of asteroid? Another asteroid hit it and blew it apart? Whatever. It's kind of wild when you look at the moon and then look at Earth. And I have a pretty cool telescope. I can see it's nothing but craters and whatever. And then you look at the Earth, and I mean, we do have some craters, rather large, but we're not cratered like the moon is. So what's keeping that from happening? I'd say it's God.
The protective
hand of God. It's the only reason we go around the sun every day.
And we're not the only creation in the universe. What an awful waste of space that would be.
Yes.
And as the sun goes around the earth.
Yes. All right. Anybody want to close us in prayer? Anybody volunteer?
All right, I'll close.
All right, Mike. See, I didn't have to point you out this week.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you do things. Because as man, we want to know the answers. business. God, you keep the answers. Give us some insight, but you don't give us everything. And that's what makes you such a great God. You give us everything we need, but there's information that you deem we don't need, and we don't have it, and we can speculate. But we will know when you give us the answer. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Phew. What's that?
Three verses, one day, how many years ago?
I need more coffee.
Good morning. Thank you.